Part 2 of the four-part discussion series, When Homelessness Hits Close to Home, was held June 14th at the Creston Valley Public Library, focusing on determinants of health and risk factors that contribute to homelessness and substance use. The event featured speakers from local stakeholders who shared personal stories and research on how childhood trauma, mental health barriers, a toxic drug supply, and systemic inequities converge to create today's crisis. This year, a mission by advocates to educate the public about the misconceptions of homelessness has continued in Creston. The Den Society, Creston Valley Public Library, and various other local organizations have come together to discuss the complex issue and interconnected nature of housing and toxic drugs, both in crisis. Adverse effects of childhood trauma. At the panel earlier this summer, Daniel Griggett, health equity lead with Interior Health, shared a personal story of his older brother David, who became homeless at 13, struggled with addiction, and ultimately passed away at 38. David didn't die because he made bad choices, Griggett said. He died because he was the victim of trauma throughout his life. Griggett emphasized trauma should be viewed in the same way as any physical illness. He presented research on adverse childhood experiences, ACE, of which the ACE score measures the number of traumatic events in a person's life by asking 10 questions such as, did you live with anyone who had a problem with drinking or using drugs? Or did an adult in your home ever physically hurt you? Higher ACE scores, reflecting childhood abuse, neglect, or household instability, dramatically increase risks of chronic illness, mental health struggles, addiction, and even early death. In 2017, a meta-analysis of 250,000 participants revealed stark numbers. People with ACE scores greater than 4 were 10 times more likely to develop substance use disorders and nearly 38 times more likely to attempt suicide. In cases of extreme trauma, ACE scores higher than 7, the likelihood of injection drug use was 80 times higher than the general population. Stress is tolerable when we have a safe place to be, and people who we trust to go to. But when you're in an environment in which you don't feel safe anywhere, that's when chronic and toxic stress impacts your body, said Griggett. Our nervous system is designed to identify threats. In situations like that, your body doesn't know what to do, so it just shuts down. Repeat trauma rewires the nervous system to not know the difference between what is actually dangerous and what is not. This often leads people to use unhealthy adaptive strategies to manage their system's dysregulation, through substance use and other types of addictions. You can't get enough of something that almost works, almost makes you feel better, said Griggett. On top of that, systemic inequities and negative stereotypes, such as racism, colonialism, homophobia, and poverty, also compound trauma, limiting access to care and creating barriers of stigma. We do need to try to alter these structural determinants of health and get to a place of equity, he said. And what that means is we're removing all of these unfair and unjust barriers to people having the opportunity to live their best and healthiest lives. The toxic drug supply. Polly Sutherland, harm reduction coordinator with ANKORS East Kootenay, said toxic drug use in the region, once dominated by prescription opioids such as OxyContin, has been overtaken by counterfeit pills and increasingly deadly substances. We see now an incredibly toxic poison supply on the street that is killing people, Sutherland said, noting Cranbrook has lost more than 100 people, including 2 ANKORS staff members, in the last 8 years to drug poisoning. The youngest, a 13-year-old experimenting alone, died just weeks before the panel. The COVID-19 pandemic, she explained, worsened isolation and further alienated people who use substances, shutting down access to crisis support and even basic services like bathrooms. It was horrible on the unhoused population. It was very stigmatizing. People were treated like they had the plague, she said. Post-pandemic, rising housing costs, now about $1,600 for a one-bedroom in Cranbrook, have left even working people struggling to secure shelter. In response, ANKORS has leaned into harm reduction by offering love, compassion, and understanding to build connection with clients. We don't judge where they're at if they need help, said Sutherland. We try to help them as best we can, in hopes of opening up a door. One program that has made a tangible difference is the Peer Employment Program, a same-day cash pay initiative now named the Peter Project after a beloved worker who passed away in 2025. The program offers unhoused individuals short-term work, helping reduce survival crime and foster dignity through contribution. Peter Eugene started working at the Cranbrook Food Bank in late 2024. While living in an encampment, he lost his previous job after suffering from frostbite injuries. A drywaller by trade, Eugene was quick to lend a hand, fix and restore old equipment, and keep things clean in the warehouse. In an interview with CBC News, he was quoted saying the work was helping to keep his mind busy and motivating him to stay out of trouble. More than anything, Peter was a helper. He had a strong sense of justice, looked out for his friends, and had the biggest giving heart. He embodied the values we hold dear here, and we will miss him so much, said Cranbrook Food Bank staff in a Facebook statement on May 5. Humanizing the conversation. In his second time speaking during the series, Jared Basil, of the Yukon Nuki, Lower Kootenai Band, emphasized the transformative power of compassion. He urged the community to focus on treating people, like Peter Eugene, rather than their problems. Trauma is colorblind, he said. Trauma doesn't just affect Indigenous people, or the 2SLGBTQ+ community. We'll never know the full story. We never know why individuals are choosing to accept homelessness. We never know the circumstances that have allowed these individuals to be in the position that they're in. Basil shared his own experience of struggle with addiction and alcoholism 15 years ago. He said society has been conditioned to stigmatize and ignore those living on the street, a feeling he knows all too well. As we walk past them, we often look up or away so as to not acknowledge them as human beings, he said. I can tell you wholeheartedly what it feels like to be disconnected and disregarded from society. And I can tell you that it hurts every time. A lot of these individuals are yearning for a sense of belonging, for connection, for understanding. He reiterated that all of us have a responsibility to care for one another and leave the world a better place for future generations. We need the ability to just overlook that stigma. These are human beings that are experiencing something, and they need us. They need our advocacy. They need our support. They need folks like us that are willing to come together to be a safe space for these individuals. Because safe spaces are few and far between. This fall, future panels will expand on this conversation. Seniors and Poverty. Sept. 6 at 1 p.m. Focuses on the impact of poverty on seniors living in Creston, highlighting the challenges faced by those living on fixed incomes with insecure housing. The Canadian Housing Crisis. Sept. 20 at 1 p.m. Looks at Creston's housing issues in the national context. These talks are free to attend. To watch via Zoom, email programs at crestonlibrary.com for the link.